All over the world today, millions of people will have been saying the Lord's Prayer. And I thought it was read to us very nicely earlier on. But very, very often, and I've tried to do it, but it's very difficult when everybody's just parrot fashion saying it around you, to try and say it meaningfully. Because there's a lot of great truth in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And so I want to read to you the Message version of the Lord's Prayer. I don't know whether you've ever read the Message version. A lot of Americanisms in it, but there's a lot of good stuff in it as well, bringing it down to earth. And the Message says this: Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. I thought that's great. But who is God? Who is this God? Who is our Father? You know, we live, and as I say, 54 years I've known Jesus. And all over those years, and even down to today, I am still so amazed at the love of God. Still so amazed that he came into my life on that day. My mouth was full of profanities and all sorts of terrible things. But I say, on that day, on that afternoon, on that Saturday afternoon, I had a heavenly mouthwash as well as a heart wash, because my whole language changed. Where there was filth and profanity, there was beauty, because Jesus Christ had become real to me. Hallelujah. Who is this God? Who is our Father? My natural father died when I was 5 years old. I just had a few memories of him. When I was 17, my mother married again, and the man she married was such a wonderful man. He couldn't have been any better to me than had he been my natural father. But you know, back there, 54 years ago, I came to know an even greater father. I came to know God through Jesus. I came to know this God of the unexpected. Are you glad that God's a God of the unexpected? You know, there are so many times, and I could keep you here for weeks, telling you about the things that happened in my life that's so unexpected. You think that you're doing something. You think that you've come to church today, but I'll tell you something. God could do something unexpected through you when you walk out these doors and go out into the real world again. We need to be open to what God is saying. And I've got a few bits of paper stuck in my Bible in places now. You know, I prefer to still use a Bible, not a tablet. Because when we all, quite a few of us got saved at the same time, and we had our floppy Bibles. If you go to sleep, I'll give you a whack, you see. But you know, we used to like our floppy Bibles because we could preach the word like that. And I still prefer a Bible to be able to read. The Bible is a lamp to our feet, you know that? When it's dark, isn't it wonderful to have a lamp? Isn't it wonderful to have the light put on? This is our God. And back in Exodus and chapter 3, we read about an unexpected appearance of God. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, verse 1 of chapter 3 of Exodus, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he was gone to look, over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look on God. Imagine that you're Moses. You've got all the sheep around you. You're doing whatever you've done day after day, just like David, simply taking bread and cheese to his brothers and the commander of his brother's army, doing what his dad wanted him to do. But something unexpected happened that day, and something unexpected happened to Moses. God was calling Moses because God had seen the problems and the difficulties of the children of Israel, and he was going to call someone out. You know, so often we think that God should be determined by the, for his actions by what we think he should do. Come on, how many times in our lives have we expected God to do something because we wanted him to do it that way, and he's totally done it some other ways? Yes? I'm not the only one, am I? Good. But this is so amazing. You see, we often tend to try to put God as a puppet on a string. God, I want you to do it this way. God, no, God, I don't want you to do it that way. No, it's not good for me that way. Tell you what, it wasn't good for Moses either, because he kept coming up with excuses. If you read on through Exodus, every time God wanted to lead him on to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he came up with excuses, didn't he not? Come on, how many of us make excuses? Well, I don't really want to get out of bed this morning. It's like the story of the mother was shouting upstairs to her son, it's time to get up. A bit later on, he came down, so she shouted again, it's time to get up. And a third time, a bit later on, she shouted up, it's time to get up, it's Sunday morning, and you've got to go to church. And the voice came down from upstairs, said, why have I got to go to church? She said, because you're the pastor. In the Message version of the portion I just read to you, in verse 6, God says, I am who I am. Not the past tense, not the future tense, the present tense, now. Every moment of every day, God is real. God is alive. And God wants to touch our lives. Now, we cannot dictate to God. We might try. But you know, the great thing about God is that he wants to be in partnership with us. Or shall we put it the other way around? He wants us to be in partnership with him. Don't you think that's amazing? 54 years I've been living with this, and it's still amazing. God is saying to me, I want you to be involved with me. Fantastic. Every morning we should wake up praising God. Not go back under the covers. Elizabeth brought me a cup of tea in bed this morning. It's good, isn't it? She said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm here." She said, "You're under the covers." But you know, we've got to wake up to God. Wake up to what God wants for us. You know, you hear so much about the fact that churches are dead and dying. But I tell you what, there's so much life in church in this nation when you begin to look at it, when you begin to realize, when you begin to see what God is doing. We have a daily prayer thing from Scripture Union, and it's amazing what God is doing through children and young people. That's worth an hallelujah, isn't it? Yeah. Or an amen? God is at work. Thank God there are churches up and down our land where they're having to have two or three services because they can't get everybody in one service. Or they're having to have bigger buildings. God is alive. God is real. And I'm so glad. And he's the God of the unexpected. You know, the wonderful thing of hell is God desires our fellowship. God desires our fellowship. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 6, it says this. This is the Message version again. "Don't you realize it is God you are treating like this? This is crazy. Don't you have any sense of reverence? Isn't this your Father who created you, who made you and gave you a place on earth?" You know, if we read Deuteronomy, let's get there. Got a piece of paper in there, and it's the song of Moses, and it says this in verse 30 of chapter 31, "And Moses recited the words of this song from the beginning to the end in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, and the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he." And then he has to point the finger. And he says, this is the children of Israel. He said, "They have acted corruptly towards him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your Father, your Creator, who made you and formed you?" This is it. God desires our fellowship. I was reading an article just the other day, magazine that came this week. And this person was saying the number of people who do not read their Bibles, the number of Christians who do not open the Bible. And he said there are an awful lot of well-known preachers as well who don't open their Bibles. This is the Word of God. Do we read our Bibles? Or is it stuck on top of a shelf somewhere gathering dust? Friends, this is our highway code. No good me this morning driving in here, driving on the right-hand side. It would have been chaos. No good going over on a red light and stopping on a green. That happened to me in the Cheltenham Road few years ago, there was two cars in front of me, and the one in front stopped there on the green, and then when it was ready, went. Oh, straight up. But, you know, it's our highway code. It's knowing God. How do we know whether we're doing right on the road? How do we know about the road signs? We read the highway. When was the last time you read the highway code? I don't even know whether we've got one. It's true, isn't it? And this is the word of God. We see here a twofold message, basically, in this scripture. It's one to us if we've strayed and have willfully disobeyed God, and secondly, it's to the outside world who have totally neglected him and his great love for them through the death of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it sad that so many people don't realize that Jesus loves them so much that he died for them? A couple of weeks' time, we're going to be remembering again the people who gave their lives in the world wars and in the war since. Not belittling any of that. That's so much that people gave their lives, men and women, in order that we could have freedom. But Jesus gave his life. Gave his life for the whole world, that we could have that freedom in God. And this is it. We need to come to him. We need to have fellowship together with Christ in the Father. In 1 John 1:3, he talks about that fellowship. He said the fellowship we have, or we had with Jesus when he walked on the earth, the fellowship we have with Jesus now, the fellowship we have with God now, it can be yours. As I said at the very beginning, it's great to come and share with you. It's good to see familiar faces. Good to see new faces. It's good to share. It's good to have fellowship. And this is it. You know, so in my experience, so many people have said to me, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Don't you enjoy coming together, meeting one another, sharing with one another? Listening to the word, singing the songs, this is part of it. It's part of that fellowship. It's like the building. If we didn't have mortar in the bricks and the blocks, this church wouldn't have been here. It would fall down. And it's like building together, worshipping together, praising together. That's why when I was involved in churches together in the town, when I was chairman, and I so much wanted to go around the different churches. Different ways of sharing with the same God. Different ways of worshipping but the same God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Coming together in that way, meeting God. He's the God of the unexpected. He's the God who desires our fellowship. But I think the greatest thing is that he desires to be our Father. He desires to be your Father, my Father. You guys have got a good Father. But I'll tell you what, a greater Father. Yeah? This is our God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah! I never had any brothers and sisters. They threw them all away. But I've got millions of brothers and sisters all over the world, hallelujah, with a heavenly Father, glory to God. And a lot of them I haven't met, but one day I shall meet with them and I shall worship with them when I meet them in heaven, hallelujah. Sorry, I should get told off when I get home. You said two, hallelujah more than three times.
Oh, dear.
Does it bother you? the universal word, isn't it? Hallelujah. What a tremendous promise this is, though. God the Father wants you and me to be his sons and daughters. Wow, doesn't that blow your mind? Well, he does it because he's smiling. What a staggering thought. What a great truth. If you know nothing else from today, go through that door when you go out there and think, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I don't know what problems you've got when you leave this place. But I'll swamp them for mine. But it's true. But we've got a Father who goes through those problems with us. We've got a Jesus who knows everything about us. As I say, 54 years of knowing Christ as Saviour, and I'm still so amazed at the love of God. He loves me so much. And he's been that way before. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't come down at the age of 33, spend 3 years in ministry, then die on a cross. He came what as? A baby. And he lived amongst people. He was a refugee at one stage. He lived amongst people like you and me. Ordinary people. And he worked. He knew what it was like to live in that sense, in that state. He lived in Nazareth. You know what Nathaniel said about Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of that place? Nazareth was, oh dear, you don't live in Nazareth, do you? But he did. Because he longs to live with you and with me. He's our Father. We need to reflect him. Do you know people are looking at you? Looking at me? They're watching our every move. Did you know that? There's two reasons why. One, that they want to kick us when we fall down and you say, oh, you're a Christian, you do that, or that happened to you. Or, I believe a lot of people are watching you and me because they want who we've got. But in many ways, they're afraid to ask us. And so we need to be those people. Living out we're Christians to tell the message. We don't have to be waving our floppy Bibles around. We don't have to be whacking people with the gospel all the time. We just live it. Think back to what caused you to become a Christian. Yes, I know it's the message. I know it's the Word of God. I know it's the message that Jesus died in your place. But what caused you to want to become a Christian? The light of God in other people. The light of God in other people. What I refer to as stepping stones. Down through my experience, I look back and I see people who were lights. And I thank God that they reflected the Father's love in Jesus. And because they reflected that light of the love of God in Jesus, that light shone on me. I've not been perfect over these 54 years. Ask Elizabeth. No, don't ask Elizabeth. Not one of us is perfect. One day we will be. But I so thank God that that light shone on me, shone into my life from other people. And there is not a reason why each one of us in the situation we find ourselves in. God of the unexpected. God wants us to be the person. He wants us to be his son, his daughter, living out, shining for him. We need to live out the risen life of Jesus Christ. We rub shoulders with so many people. People who need Jesus in every day of every week. Like I say, we don't have to hammer them. We build bridges. We build bridges, and it can take time. About 4 or 5 years ago, we were at our Elim conference, and the Reverend John Boyers, who's the Manchester United chaplain. You don't support Manchester United, do you? Oh, you do. Nah, never mind. They'll be in the third division next year. But John said this. He took a seminar on chaplaincy. He said, you don't hammer people. You build bridges. And he'd been there some time at Manchester United. And he was walking through the canteen restaurant one Saturday morning. And I'm not sure whether it was the under-19 team. They were all sat there waiting for the coach to go off to a game. And one of them said, hey, Rev, come over here. And the night before, they'd seen the film, The Passion of Christ. And they said to him, hey, Rev, what do you think of it? He said, I was able to sit down until the coach came. He said, I was able to sit down and share the gospel with these 15, 20, under-19-year-olds. Wow. Building bridges. And at just the right time, he was able to share the goodness of God. Hey, Rev, what do you think of that? One of these days, somebody's going to say, hey, excuse me, would you like to tell me about Jesus? I'm so glad people did to me. I'm so glad. There was one young lady at the time, not Elizabeth, a young lady, because she came to Christ afterwards. But I don't know whether you saw Songs of Praise a couple of weeks ago. And there was a lady vicar on there. As far as we can understand, she's the daughter-in-law of this young woman who caused me to think seriously about Jesus. Persistent Christians. Why don't you come to the meeting? Why don't you come and share? She married a vicar. Now it looks like their daughter-in-law is a vicar. But there was that light shining. We need to be light shining. You know, when we come together, when we come in prayer as individuals or as families, we clean the light and let the light shine. No good trying to put the light on if there's no bulb in, is there? I mean, you can put the switch on, can't you? But nothing happens. We need to be people who are shining. We need to be people who have a Father. A Father who touches our lives. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are our Father. And you long to be more and more and more a father to us. Help us to realize that. Help us to know that. And help us to let your love shine through us to those around us in this dark world. As Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for listening. I trust that as we go forward, each of us, we will go forward in the light of Christ, in the light of God. Amen.